Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, I would like to talk about whether the use of a nitrification inhibitor can maintain wheat grain protein under elevated CO2. I would like to acknowledge the funding bodies who provide a fund for this study. Okay, as you can see from the graph, atmospheric carbon dioxide level has been increasing since Industrial Revolution, and from last year is 401 ppm, and then 2 days ago it rise to 404, so it's a 2.4 ppm increase. So it's predicted that under this situation, by the end of the century, it will reach around 700 to 1000 ppm. So under this high CO2, because CO2 is a substrate for photosynthesis, and it increased plant photosynthesis, carbon assimilation, and as a result, it increased net primary productivity. From the meta-analysis shown here, you can see that the height, leaf area index, dry matter production, and crop yield in general is increased under high CO2, especially for C3 plants, but the C4 species is were not as responsive. However, under high CO2, the grain protein was reduced. From this meta-analysis, you can see the barley, rice, wheat, and potato, the protein concentration all reduced under high CO2. For soybean, it's less responsive, probably because it's a legume which can fix nitrogen from the atmosphere. There are a few possible mechanisms for this one. Some people say it's dilution effect. The other more recent finding is by Bloom is that under high CO2, there was a suppression of nitrate photoassimilation. And this makes us think what we can do from the point of view of soil nitrogen management. Soil mineral nitrogen divides into ammonium and nitrate form. And we because of that nitrate photoassimilation, we are thinking whether we can maintain the mineral nitrogen as ammonium form. So we try to use inhibitors, for example, DMPP and nitroprene, which can suppress the microbial conversion of ammonium into nitrate. So there are two goals of doing that. The first, as mentioned, is to maintain soil nitrogen as ammonium form. And the second was to decrease the nitrous oxide emission. And the reason for that is because researchers have found that under elevated CO2, carbon input to the soil were increased, and that carbon substrate, extra carbon substrate, can be used by denitrifiers and enhance the nitrous oxide production via denitrification. So we conducted the study using the FACE facility, which is free air carbon dioxide enrichment. And briefly, it's like this is the liquid CO2 tank, and this tank will be connected to the experimental area which grows the wheat through different pipes and different controllers, which can monitor carbon dioxide concentration and also wind speed and wind direction in order to adjust the CO2 level within the experimental area. So the first site we did the study was in Horsham in Victoria. Victoria is here, Melbourne is here, Horsham is 300 kilometers away from Melbourne, and it is a semi-arid region with wheat being the major crop production area. And this photo shows one of the rings or octagonal rings of the FACE CO2 enrichment site. And so the CO2 will be released through this pipe to the wheat canopy. The second site was in Changping, which is in Beijing, China. And again, this is also a semi-arid region. And this in this site, they use wheat-soybean rotation. And this photo shows that, again, is one of the rings. And this ring is 4 meter diameter, which is smaller than the one in Australia, which was 16 meter diameter when we conducted the study. So for this study, we have the treatment is ambient CO2, which is around 390 to 400 ppm, versus elevated CO2, which is 550 ppm. And this 550 ppm is actually the target or the predicted level to be reached by around 2050. And we have with and without inhibitor as a treatment. In Horsham, we use DMPP. In Changping, we use nitroprene. and we measure different parameters, but in this presentation, I focus on soil mineral nitrogen, grain protein, grain presenting nitrogen, and nitrous oxide emission, which was measured by chamber study, in the site. So here are some results. Under high, the top table shows the one in Horsham, the bottom table with in Changping, and you can see the nitrate and ammonium. So NI means nitrification inhibitor, so without inhibitor and with inhibitor. In general, regardless of CO2 level, the nitrate was reduced when we applied the nitrification inhibitor, both sides. For the ammonium concentration, is in general, again, in opposite, is increased by the application of nitrification inhibitor. So this result shows that both inhibitors actually work in both sides in maintaining the nitrogen in ammonium form. So when we look at the percentage of nitrogen in the tissue, for green nitrogen, this bar is ambient CO2 and the blue bar is elevated CO2. There was a reduction of around 7% in green nitrogen. But when you look at the one with inhibitor, so the orange ones, ambient CO2, high CO2 is also reduction, but it's less reduction, although it's not significant. For the Changping site, the blue bars also indicates without inhibitor, and under high CO2, you can see there's reduction. But with inhibitor, it's almost identical. So the stem percentage nitrogen actually follows similar pattern as the grain. Okay, when we look at the nitrous oxide emission, this is from the Horsham site. So this is throughout the experimental period or the wheat growing period. All the four treatments actually followed similar pattern in terms of their nitrous oxide emission. And they respond quite well to the fertilizer application and irrigation. And when we look at the average annual emission, elevated CO2 increase the annual emission for both with and without inhibitor. So you can see increase. And for the nitrification inhibitor, when we added it, it tended to reduce. Not much, and this one reduced more. So the reason for the increase in the nitrous oxide emission under elevated CO2, as mentioned, is probably because of the more carbon substrate supplied by the plants to the soil. And this is the second site in China for the nitrous oxide emission. Again, the four treatments follow similar pattern, and they respond quite. The annual emission respond quite well to the fertilizer application and rainfall. So when there was more water, it increased the emission. When there's more nitrogen, increased the emission. For the nitrous oxide emission, the average one, again under elevated CO2, the nitrous oxide emission was increased for without inhibitor and with inhibitor, so increased. However, this was a bit interesting. It's out of our expectations that the nitrification inhibitor tended to increase the nitrous oxide emission for both ambient and elevated CO2. So from the previous soil mineral nitrogen data, we found that the inhibitor nitroprene actually work in suppressing the conversion of ammonium into nitrate. So we assume that the NTO emission associated with the nitrification process will be reduced as well. So what caused this increase in nitrous oxide emission? We think probably is because of the denitrification was the dominant process in producing NTO in this site, and the nitroprene actually itself contains around 30% carbon by molecular weight. So we were thinking whether it's because of that extra carbon in the nitroprene stimulates the denitrifiers to produce more NTO in this site. And when we searched literature, we found another one more study that found nitroprusside actually stimulates NTO emission. But we need more study to confirm this finding, and this is a field experiment, and we will be doing some glasshouse experiment to see whether it happens again. So in summary, elevated CO2 reduce wheat grain nitrogen concentration. Nitrification inhibitor reduce the narrow the gap of the reduction in grain nitrogen under high CO2, or it can maintain it under elevated CO2. Nitrification inhibitor reduce NTO emission under elevated CO2, but it has to be that NTO emission or NTO production was from mainly from nitrification. I think from this study, we need to think of more approach or other different methods to rectify the issue of the reduction in grain protein under high CO2. For example, maybe breedings or more plant physiology studies or other agricultural nitrogen management. And I think this is one of the challenges in future CO2 climates. And thank you very much for your attention. Yes.
Can you give us an idea of how much of either the fertilizer nitrogen or the soil nitrogen was lost through nitrous oxide? What is the relative amount?
Actually, we did a 59 study, like looking at the fertilizer recovery, and the nitrous oxide percentage probably lost around maybe a few percent, less than 5%, I would say, 2 to 3%. Yeah, but if we need more exact value, we need to do the 15N N2O measurement, and the percentage that I just gave you is based on the total recovery or total loss, assuming that the leaching was negligible under this semi-arid region.
Yep. Do you think it's possible to make some predictions in a broader area about the impacts of these inhibitors under this changing climate?
Yeah, the inhibitor. Oh, you mean if we expand to how it works?
Well, how it would work beyond those two sites.
Oh, yeah. I think we need to try more different inhibitors in different conditions, probably maybe more nitrous oxide for sites with more higher nitrous oxide emission rather than this one. This one is semi-arid area. The nitrous oxide is not as much, maybe because of that, so the reduction is not as effective. Maybe some more higher temperature, warmer areas like subtropical area, maybe it will work better. Green nitrogen is, I think, in general from the other global literature, is reduction in grain protein, for especially for wheat crops and other cereal crops. It's not just the phenomenon of semi-arid region, and it also happens even under sufficient nitrogen supply or soil with sufficient nitrogen. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.